Welcome to Wisdom Talk Radio, a collaborative community of explorers in conscious living.
What if you knew that you were always being guided in life, always being led? And really, what if you knew that life works? That's one of my fundamental operating principles, and it's foundational really to my life, because so much of what I learned in my early life was about struggle. Now, as I look at that, as I look back at that, I see that what that was giving me were the tools to build bridges for people who are stuck on one side of the bridge and feel desperate for something different. And in fact, probably don't even see that there is another side to the bridge and that it's right in front of them. I'm excited to explore all of this with my guest today, who brings this to exquisite life. So stay with us and welcome. Welcome to Wisdom Talk Radio. I am Laurie Seymour, host of Wisdom Talk Radio and CEO and founder of the Baca Institute. I'm also the creator of the Quantum Connection Process. That's all about discovering your unique connection with the essence of who you are. By taking the Quantum Connection quiz, you can discover that. We are each designed to directly connect with Source in our own way. And knowing what your style is, both your creative power and your learning edge, opens a deeper connection with the truth of who you are and with the universe. It really is the secret to creating what you want in life and to receiving. I love this. We're recording. This won't come out this, but we're recording this on the winter solstice. And I think of this as a time of great receiving. So stay with us. Stay tuned. And I want to introduce you to Moshe Gerst, who was a spiritual teacher and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of It's All the Same to Me. That's a great title. He has devoted his life to seamlessly bridging the worlds of the Torah tradition, mystical wisdom, the true nature of the human mind, and our collective struggles. His popular TEDx talk has become the catalyst for his new book, The Three Conditions, How Intention, Joy, and Certainty Will Supercharge Your Life. He lives in Jerusalem with his wife and children. Welcome, Moshe. I am really delighted you are here. And how are you?
Well, thank you so much, Laurie. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank God. It is was a beautiful day. It's now evening over here.
Yes. Yes.
Though my background makes it look like it's daylight all the time, which I like, but it is night outside.
And even as I said, we're here at the winter solstice, which here, at least, not there. Here it is the longest day of the year, the longest darkness of the year. And being able to see the light is always a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many things I want to touch on with you. And maybe we need to speak, at least to begin with, about what's happening in the Middle East right now, even though that will be different when this comes out. But to somehow acknowledge that, acknowledge not who's right, who's wrong. That's not the nature of this. But you said something before we started that about this is a part of our collective journey, our collective evolution. So maybe that's something that you could start us out with. I know we're kind of really jumping in, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I do it to myself because I live here. Right. So if I'm living in the Middle East, I'm living in actually we just moved. So just outside of Jerusalem. And I've spent the last 17 years here, even though I'm born and raised in Southern California from Los Angeles. So it's a little different, L.A. and Jerusalem.
My husband is from Los Angeles.
Nice. OK, so it's. Yeah, the language I used before was that it is part of our collective evolution. And that it's not just something that happened on October 7th. That wasn't the beginning of this story. And today is not the end of that story. We are in a process. And part of it has to do with, you know, the people that live in this side of the world. And part of it has to do with people, human beings, the process of trying to figure out how to live in a world with separate ideologies and identities and realities and still live and find peace and connection and unity. And it's challenging. You know, there's the human element and then there's the spiritual element. There's where we are and where we want to be. And we're always looking to bridge those two worlds. And where we are, there's a lot of pain. That's that's the point of presence where we exist right now is there is a tremendous amount of discontent and struggle and frustration that so many people are feeling. And, you know, I just spent 5 weeks on a book tour in America. And so I was here in Israel for what happened on October 7th and the weeks that followed. Then I went to America, was there for 5 weeks, and now I'm back. I'm just now back on the other side of that. And what's fascinating to me is that there's tension in both parts of the world. There's tension here in Israel right now, and there's tension in areas of America where I was there, but the tensions are different.
Yes,
the angst is different. The tension's different. And even though they both might be around the same conflict, right? But where you are also impacts how you're feeling and what you're feeling about what's taking place. But the fact that everybody's feeling something and that everybody's moving through something is what I mean by this is collective. This is not about, you know, my land, your land, and it's not about I'm right and you're right. It's something so much more fundamental that we have throughout all of human history. I've been trying to move in the direction of something good and something peaceful. And I'm of the ilk that believes that the world is better today than it's ever been before, that we have been moving in the right direction. We're not anywhere near the end of the story, I don't think.
Which we might be able to say, thank God we're not at the end of the story.
Right. We're very happy and grateful to be exactly where we are. I'm so grateful every single day to be in this point in history. It's such a powerful and beautiful time, even with all of the chaos and the disruption that we experience in this world. You know, everything has to be going right for us to be frustrated about the pieces going wrong. There's so much more going right. I tell people that, you know, 99.9% of reality has to be working for us to complain about one thing that's going the wrong way.
Yes.
And, you know, gravity still works. We didn't fall off the rock floating through space, you know, moving at speeds that we can't imagine, right? Like where things have to be moving so right so much of the time. And so now we're in this fine tuning, tweaking point in history where it feels we're so close. I know that there's a lot of conversation that surrounds doom and gloom in the world of the media and social media. But if we take a broad perspective and really look from the outside in, say, wow, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
I think we have come a long way. And the pendulum swings, and that's how growth is.
Well, so the pendulum swings, yes. Is it that the pendulum swings in terms of our awareness or what we're willing to acknowledge?
I mean, I think when I said that, what I mean is, you know, it's almost as if you could try to imagine if the pendulum were to stay in the center, we've arrived, but it takes time before it slows down and kind of comes back to that centered place. So, you know, in the beginning, things moved in this vast sort of more volatile, chaotic experience, and there was a tremendous amount of lack of clarity. And if you were on a different side of the world, you never met a person on the other side of the planet. That just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the closer we get or the further we get in history, the more connection there is. And it's almost like things are moving faster, but we're getting closer and closer to the center. So it might have taken longer to get from one side of the other. in terms of communication, in terms of understanding, in terms of bridge building, in terms of recognizing where we're all connected. And we're getting closer to that center point. Mm-hmm. The volatility might be faster, but it's not as chaotic.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think the connection is, or the mirror, maybe it's a mirror, between that speeding up of our connection, of our outer connection with one another, and the inner connection, self with self, my connection with God, my connection with presence, and my knowing that connection.
Yeah, I think, and that's a beautiful segue. I think that's not just happening on the world stage. I think that really is happening on all the individual stages as well. And there's a powerful awakening that's happening on this planet right now. And I think for people who are paying attention and their eyes are open and they're in tune, you just see that there's a movement that's happening at quite a rapid pace. Again, when you put it in a historical context, mm-hmm. there's a lot of movement. Again, information is now everywhere and free, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas maybe not too long ago, go back just 100 years, and then from that point back all the way through history, mm-hmm. on the individual level, just to get to information, to find the right teacher or to find a book, and maybe you were illiterate, maybe, mm-hmm. right? So the ability to go and grow and to learn and expand in terms of knowledge, it was so limited for so much of history. And all of a sudden, right, we've got the internet and you've got access to every book that's ever been written and in every language that you could possibly imagine. So the pace by which one can now choose to grow, if they want to grow, if they want to take in new ideas, new information, to learn from other cultures, to learn from other individuals, people of the same mind from other parts of the world, or learn from people who have a different mind in the same part of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So the opportunity has grown in exponential ways that we can't even begin to quantify. It's like unbelievable. And then so on the personal level, that's just on the surface. And then on the inside, there is this speeding up as we get closer and closer to a time. You know, my belief is that we are moving towards, I guess, what you might call more of a utopian society, a world where there is a coalescing of minds and spirit, because the physical realm is just the outer plane and we're mm-hmm. really all connected once you go in. So there is this innate desire of all people to connect to what we call the good, or the capital G good. And that's, you know, the source energy, call it God, or whatever it is that you are used to describe that essence, right, of reality. And so as that's trying to come to light throughout all of the consciousness of this reality on an individual level, the moment you start to even look inward a little bit, so that space starts to open up. And so yeah, there might be volatility in your life, but that volatility in your life might be leading to that one moment that starts to open you up to, now I start to have my aha that moves me in the direction of truth, mm-hmm. you know, my personal truth in this world, and then the collective capital T truth of what life is.
I love that you speak about the capital T truth. I speak about that and I'm often challenged, you know, how can there be truth, a capital T truth. And yet I feel profoundly that there is. And it's not a concept. It's not an idea. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we try to put it in words so that we can have what to use in conversation when one who has that sense, that experience, and wants to share that with another. So we use the power of words to convey ideas that are beyond ideas, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I think we've been doing a decent job throughout history of at least trying to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. There's a line, right, in the Tao that says the Tao that can be named is not the Tao, right? Because once you try to tie it to a concept, you're missing it. In a similar vein, Eckhart Tolle was once here in Israel speaking, and he opened up the night by saying one of the things he likes about Judaism and Torah was that we don't say the name of God. We mm-hmm. just say the word Hashem, which means the name, which again creates the distance of not trying to trap God or this higher consciousness into a concept, because the moment you do that, you distance yourself from the experience of that which is. So at the same time that we need to use language, you can't get lost in the signpost and mistake it for the sign, right? And if you know, water is not the word water, it is the experience of the liquid.
Mm-hmm. And there's something else about, and I wonder if this is part of the pendulum, the sense of how things are being stirred up and the need to have things stirred up in order to maybe move through them, in order for a clearing out. It's like when the water gets stirred up, yeah, that has to happen in order for the settling and the purity to rise to the surface.
Yeah, almost like an organized chaos, right? Or a cosmic chaos that is, the setup is there for refinement and for growth and development. Mm-hmm.
So I want to turn to your book, which is, by the way, it's exquisite. It is really, it's such a joy to read. It's that kind of book that I can imagine, and probably will, you know, have it by the side of my bed. And let's read a couple paragraphs before you go to sleep, because that seeds everything around what happens while you sleep. So that those three conditions, intention, joy, and certainty. And I'd love for you, and I don't care where you start with that, where you go with that, but it's something about the importance of remembering who you are. That to me is something that I live with every day. I mean, it's something that is so important to me, because the forgetting is such a big part of life.
Yeah. If you look at the website, right, on the MosheGersh.com website, I think the tagline we have over there is awaken to the truth of who you are and what life is. Right. And it's for that exact reason, right? Because whether you're calling it an awakening or a remembering, a turning back to, a return to, it's always about coming back to that higher self, right? So we call it the soul, or consciousness itself, which is a ray of light from, you know, metaphorically, if the sun is the source, and the ray of light are all the individual expressions of that one source. And that's what we are, right? As we go through this life. And it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget. In fact, I think that's how the world is created. The world is created in such a way where until you turn inwards, the natural state of things is you're looking outwards, right? That your eyes don't face yourself. Yeah. Your eyes actually face everything outside of you. And so it's natural to take the entire outer world and allow that to be your definition of reality. And what all spiritual work is, definitionally, is turning the lens back in, moving back in the direction of self, back in the direction of the layers that go deeper and deeper within, right? In Kabbalah and Torah, there are five layers of the soul, five dimensions of that reality. And so it doesn't matter what paradigm one is in, right? I think in, I was just speaking to somebody recently that also in some of the Indian tradition, there's also five levels, right? That parallel the same idea, right? So there are, whether you're calling it body and soul, or there's body, spirit, and soul, I don't care how many layers you want to call it, there are layers, right? So it's all about peeling back the layers and going in and finding that truth. So when we talk about the three conditions, what I'm really pointing to there is the we live in a world of duality, though it's all unified from a deeper perception. From the perspective that we're given upon birth, there's a multiplicity. There's a manyness to life. But when you oversimplify all of reality, there's you, and then there's everything that's not you. Make things very simple, right? So there's Lori, and there's everything that exists that isn't Lori, right? There's the me, and then the everything that's not me. So,
and you don't even have that as a newborn. You don't have that as a baby.
That's right. Then it's
everything as me.
Right, exactly. As a newborn, it's really all just you. It's really all you. Or on the other hand, it might be all not you. I mean, I guess we'd have to go and figure out what that looks like from the brain of a newborn. I don't even know. I've never thought about that before. So now's not the time. I'll give it thought afterwards. Okay. But so from our vantage point, there are only two things that really exist. And the way that you perceive both of those two realities are going to directly impact your relationship to soul, to that higher dimensional experience. And intention, when I say intention, I don't mean like setting goals,
right?
Which is a wonderful thing to do. But it's not about intention setting as much as about realigning with the essential intention for living, meaning the who am I and what am I doing here, right? What is my essential space in this world? What's my essential intention for living? And one gets to that by awakening and remembering the truth of who they are, right? The truth of who they are is that although we are material in nature, that's part of our shell in this world, but we're far beyond that, that we are spiritual beings, that we are souls traversing this reality, learning lessons, experiencing, teaching, doing. We're in a world of doing, though our essence is one of being. And so reconnecting to that is really reconnecting to the essential goodness of self. There's a goodness, a value, a truth that exists beyond our personal history, beyond our name, beyond our performance and our doing. And we are convinced that it's just the opposite. We come into this world being convinced that the level of your knowledge is what makes you who you are. Your experiences are what make you who you are. Your level of performance will make you who you are. What people think of you make you who you are. What you have and what you have not is what make you what you are. And those are all outside of you. Those are all external to self. So intention is all about this awakening return to self of, well, who am I really and what am I doing here? And when you realign with the essential goodness of self, so you are now primed to live in this world, no matter what happens to you, not under the guise or the illusion that something needs to happen out there, or I need to do something out there for me to be good, to be valuable, to be an expressive, a powerful expression in this world. So that's the world of intention. The world of certainty is about everything outside of you. When I say that, again, interchangeably, you can call that God, because to me, you know, it's funny. I was once working on a retreat, and there was someone there at the retreat that said, you know, isn't it funny that so many people pray to a God and God never talks back? And in that moment, I didn't know how to process it, because what I wanted to tell him was, I don't know what you mean. God is always talking back. In fact, all of life is just God talking back. Maybe we have a different definition of God, not about the communication, because to me, all of life is the reflection back to you, right? So whether that's a conversation you're having with somebody or something that you see or something that you hear, there's this continual cosmic dialogue between the you, the self in the body, with everything outside the self, outside the body. So certainty is not certain of a particular outcome, but certain of a particular process, that life unfolds in a certain way. And that is, again, a way of love and goodness and intention, of meaning and purpose, right? That life is unfolding in that way, that there are no challenges that are accidental. There are no accidents in the universe, no mistakes in the universe, that life is unfolding for a higher good, for one's higher good in this world, as we move in that direction. So yeah, I see that you have a question over there.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I don't want to lose it. And it has to do with God being out there. Mm-hmm. Because my experience is that God is in here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not having a conversation with God out there. I'm having a with God in here.
Mm-hmm.
And God does answer.
Yes, of course. And so to me, again, because the paradigm that I'm working with here is one of duality, right? Because that's the starting point.
Okay,
The average person, right, who's having this conversation is living in the space of duality, though, you know, my firm inner experience is one of unity. So even this conversation is actually somewhat of a cosmic joke, because we're speaking to myself, but because we perceive the world in separateness, that is the starting point in one's journey.
Yes.
It's where most people find themselves in the beginning of their journey. So to deny that, right, even when one comes to that space of unity consciousness, right, to deny the outer space, is to deny an element of the reality that we live in, right? Because we are in a body, and we are on a planet. Even if beyond that totality, there's a complete unified oneness that's there. But part of the beauty of this world is that I get to be in this chair in this country, while you get to be in that chair in that country, and we have this relationship. So when I use the word certainty or goddess out there, what I mean to say is that you are sitting where you are, and anybody who's listening to this right now is sitting where they are, and I am speaking words to you, which is outside of you, mm-hmm. and yet mm-hmm. that is God speaking to you through me to you, and God is also the you to you. It's, I mean, both things are true. Mm-hmm. It's not a contradiction for you to sit there and have divine insight that comes straight through your channel. But a bird can fly past you, and that is giving you a message as well, right?
So, thank you. That's a beautiful way to speak to all of that. We couldn't have a podcast. We couldn't have a conversation if we don't acknowledge that duality is also part of this oneness.
Right, exactly. And it's funny because, you know, paradoxically, and all great truth lies in paradox because it has to be able to hold all the sides. Mm-hmm. So paradoxically, you can't deny duality and have unity, right? Mm-hmm. You must allow duality to exist for unity to be full and to be true. So in this space, so if there's you and then there's everything outside of you, and you can perceive both of those realities from where you are as good and whole and holy and intentional and purposeful. So when you see yourself as good and you see the world you live in as good and purposeful, so the way that you can know that you're in alignment with that space is the level of joy, of peace, of love that you experience within. So that's the third condition, right? Which is allowing you to know that when you're experiencing joy, so you know you're in alignment. If you're not experiencing joy, that sense of peace in the world that you're living in, so that means somewhere inside, the mind has gotten trapped in some other vision of reality where either you're seeing the world around you as hostile, or you see yourself as not good enough. You see the world outside of you as uncertain, or you see yourself as lacking purpose or lacking intention. So that becomes then the barometer or the measuring stick by which you can then dial in and tune into those higher frequencies, allowing yourself to remember, this is really who I am. This is really what life is. And so we use the emotion, or we use that state of consciousness as almost like a map.
Yeah, I so love that you speak to that, because that was really my experience of moving out of self-doubt, was when I had the experience. I think of it, for me, it was love. It was that experience of self-love to such an extent. It was like, this is what truth is. So mm-hmm. all the other thoughts, all the thoughts of doubt, every time that comes up, that's not true. Because it's not this experience. It's not this feeling. So mm-hmm. what's hard, though, for people is, some people have never had that experience. They don't have a barometer. They don't have an awareness of that flame that's there, always present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, and that's one of the great advantages of the time we live in, because you're sitting there in Denver right now having this conversation, and there are people all over the world. They get to tune into your light, right? Into this conversation. And one of the things that we are all teachers and we are all students. That's something that is a firm understanding that I feel like somewhere along the way really settled in deeply within me, that everyone you meet is really a teacher and a student. And so there's a dual reverence that you have when you meet an individual. And so because of that, there's a light that you carry. So when people don't have that, or they don't sense their natural light, maybe a superficial way to look at it would maybe be to say like, that's bad or that's wrong, but it's not. It just is what it is, which that's going to start their search, right? At some point, mm-hmm. a person's going to feel pain or darkness or suffering, and they're going to now try to look for the light, and they're going to go online and talk in Wisdom Talk Radio or something. They're going to look for the light mm-hmm. somewhere in the world. They're going to find it, and that's going to help elevate and give them their resonance. And they're going to go deeper in. So all of growth starts at some point in the dark. Mm-hmm. Right? So you don't have to have that naturally, right? One of the happiest people I know was a cynic until a few years ago. And he found himself on a path of learning and education. And part of that education is rewiring the way we see ourselves, rewiring the way we see the world, because we've adopted so many ideas from, you know, whether it's our parents or it's our, you know, extended family, social networks, the cities we grew up in, the countries we grew up in, the religions or even political affiliations we grew up in, whatever it is. Everyone grew up somewhere and then got a certain lens on life, got a certain lens on reality. And being able to go back in, you know, whether that's picking up a meditation practice or spending time in therapy or doing a deep dive in, you know, a spiritual text, all of those things are going to be tools, right? Tools and methods to realigning and reawakening that space. And the evidence is the world of individuals who do experience it. So all you have to do is, you know, if you're a person who's in pain or who's in suffering, so there are communities out there. And now today it's easier than ever to find those communities and say, well, what worked for you, right? Was it a certain teaching? Was it a teacher? Was it a book? Right? What is it that's opening you up? But it's all going to be about a realignment of thought.
And then from there, you have said, I think somewhere in your book about living with love is an active choice. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to say it. It is an active choice. And how do we do that?
I hope that, I don't know if you can hear what I can hear, but living with love is an active choice.
And when family comes in, that's also an act of love.
That's right. And it's a celebration. Mm-hmm. I would say when I say living with love is an active choice, it's a matter of leaning in. The first piece is even acknowledging that love is more than just affection. I think that we are given an idea that of love, certainly in the Western world, and certainly the way that I was raised, that love is affection, right? It's an emotion that you feel about someone that's special, right? They're a special person or special people, or, you know, my family, my community, and I love them, right? Mm-hmm. But real love is so much more than the feeling of affection you have for someone. Mm-hmm. It's an experience of unity, right? It truly is. It's an experience of oneness and peace that you share with all. And I say with all, meaning with all people, with all things, with all spaces. And it comes from a deep sense of presence. It's an aliveness, right? That love is an aliveness that lives in you. And so it's a choice to lean into that. So, you know, for example, someone can show up at your door screaming and yelling and creating noise, and you can feel a resistance to that, or you can let go of that resistance and lean in and say, ah, okay, that's also part of this. That's allowed. That's okay. You know, I think, you know, the classically, the example I give is when you're stuck in traffic and you have an appointment and you know you need to get somewhere, and it just isn't moving. So you can live in resistance to that. And that's where all the pain and suffering comes from, is from that non-allowance. Mm-hmm. Or you can step into a different light, a different perspective. You can make love an active choice. You can make that oneness an active choice and say, well, okay, it is what it is. Okay. And here I am. And what can I do with this space now? Right? Is there an opportunity in this space? Or maybe it's just time for me to sit in quiet, right? The word love in Torah has the same gematria, the same numerical value as one, echad, right? Because love and unity, love and oneness are really expressing the same idea.
And for me, it's a frequency. Mm-hmm. It's that frequency, that vibration of unconditional love. So it's not, for me, it's not an emotion either. And we can tap into that. We can allow, it's not even tapping into it. I think it's allowing that.
Yeah, that's the right word. It's allowing, right? Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. It is. It's this, the word you used just now, unconditional, right? It's the entire space of unconditional, right? It's really the world of conditional is, it's funny because in Kabbalah, so the opposite of love is this world of constriction, right? Mm-hmm. Of trying to narrow things. And another word for that is to make things conditional, right? So the moment you step into the world of conditions and conditionality, so you're stepping away from this unconditional space of unity and love. And so it is, it's so much more than affection. I remember one of the first times I had, it almost felt like a complete out of body experience. I had been in a group meditation, maybe this is, I don't know, 7 years ago. And we had been meditating and we had been doing some deep learning. And there was a lot of beautiful conversation we had. And I walked out of the session. I was walking down the street and unexplainable, it was like wash over me, love, like just a shower. I felt like I was in a rainstorm of this, of bliss. I don't have better words for it. It's hard to encapsulate it into words. And for a very long time afterwards, it was like every person that I met, I felt like they were like my brother or my sister. I just wanted to give them a hug, not because of affection, because like, oh, I love you, man, or you're so special to me, but like, wow, like it's a deep appreciation for all of life. It is that deep aliveness. And those are gifts that we don't always get to have, where it's like so high and so clear. But from those moments, we get to then integrate that back into the way that we think and see and speak and connect.
And then we live life in a very different way.
Yes, you are now changed.
And people have these experiences and don't always have the means to, not about holding on to it, because that's a constriction, but how to bring it into life and allow it to be something that is alive, allow it to be something that lives you rather than you trying to fit into something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no right or wrong way to have a spiritual experience. They happen as they happen, and then we respond as we respond. And for those that then take that and go on some journey and find more, so that's a beautiful thing. And for those that it becomes something they speak about every now and then, and it gave some spark to their life, something to look back to, maybe that was the entire purpose of it. Right? And so, if for someone who's looking to live with more love in their life, with more joy in their life, with more peace in their life, with more enthusiasm and purpose. So having a spiritual experience, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. But it's far from the end. It really is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of a process. And so if somebody wants more of that in their life, we live in a special time where you can say, okay, well, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to look for it. Throughout all of history, you could have looked for it, right? I mean, this is far from the first time in life where journeys were possible. But the access is different. And I don't just mean, everything in this world reflects a spiritual plane as well, right? And so the world we live in, I was just talking to someone about this the other day. We were speaking about the power of names, that all names hold a certain energy, a certain frequency, a certain power. And that, last names are new on the historical stage.
Right.
And do last names hold a power? Is there any power in a last name? And I said, look, I mean, it's implicit that if it exists now in this world, so there is a spiritual counterpart to that which we're seeing here. Mm-hmm. And if now at this stage in reality, last names have a meaning, they are a part of an identity, or we are more defined in the world that we live in today than maybe we were in the past. To me, that implies a deeper, more sense of clarity and definition on a spiritual plane as well.
Okay.
And so it's interesting when we think about it from that perspective, that no matter what we're seeing on the outside, right, there's always going to be something deeper that's happening behind it. That's a guiding force. I'd lost my train of thought because I got so excited about this name piece of why I got there, but here we are.
I'm not sure how you got there either. I was right there with you.
No. It had to do with what we were just speaking about. And then my mind went fully into that space, and here we are.
I was thinking about how you came into this space, and I don't mean this moment in time, but you came out of your own journey. I mean, you felt that sense of looking and I want to discover. You were what some people might call a seeker. Would you still call yourself a seeker? I didn't know this was the question I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you are living?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I've always been on some level on a journey. Mm-hmm. And always looking and curious. And at the same time, I was raised in a very blessed home that was raised with very fundamental spiritual principles, raised with the vision of and power of presence, of really, really living in this moment and being embodied and in wherever you are. You know, to me, it really is all that exists. There's a great line from the Baal Shem Tov, who's the founder of Hasidus, that says there's only one moment in this world, and that moment is right now. And to me, that was one of the fundamental ideas I've lived with. So on the one hand, I'm a seeker in that I'm always looking for that next level, because there's so much to learn and so much to grow and people to meet and experiences to have, because that's the gift of this world. The gift of this world is the expansion and the movement. And at the same time, I feel very grounded in the space that I'm at, knowing that this is exactly, where I need to be, where I want to be. Mm-hmm. On one foot, my journey kind of looked like I was the singer of a rock band for 7 years, right? That was my life. I was completely enthralled by rock and roll, right? So I was playing a lot of rock music.
Uh-huh.
Parenthetically, one of the guitar players from the first rock concert I ever went to showed up at one of my talks about a month ago. And it was like, wow, I can't believe it. 20 years later, pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went deeply into the world of study, which was much more about philosophy, ideas, meaning, belief systems.
That's the Jewish way, isn't it? Education. Study.
Education, like really, really went deep down that road. And it was only when I started having my own personal kind of inner struggles that started to translate into more of a spiritual seeking that went beyond the page, that was really more about consciousness, about self, and about touching the part of us, that intuitive knowing that we all have, that that goes beyond ideas and goes beyond, races and religion, that's shared equally. And so, I do feel like I continue to seek, because I know that there's always more, mm-hmm. but the deeper you go in, the less the details matter to a degree. It sounds almost counterintuitive, because you find a space that's so whole. There's a wholeness, and it's a deepening more than an exploration of concepts. Concepts are great. I love the world of concepts, but there's something deeper and more holistic that mm-hmm. one touches once they go beyond the world of just the mind.
Ooh, Moshe, we could continue, and I know we're going to end. And please tell people how they can, first of all, find your book and find more with you.
So everything is, all my handles on social media are Moshe Gerst, MOSHEGERSHT. And that's the website as well. So MosheGerst.com. And the book is on Amazon. It's available everywhere. I think people can get their mm-hmm. books today. So there's audiobook, there's ebook, there's the physical copy. There's a spiritual version of it and physical version of it, whatever, however a person likes to get to their next level of growth and wisdom.
Mm. Thank you so much. I have a feeling we might want to come back and continue. At least I would. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Moshe Gerst, for being here, for gracing us with your wisdom.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lori. I appreciate this very much.
And thank you to our listeners, our viewers, for being with us today. Without you, we wouldn't be doing this. So join us here regularly for more wisdom, discovery, and illumination. And if you've really enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review wherever you listen, because that always helps more people to discover what this is and discover the wisdom for themselves. So if you want to learn more about your own personal quantum connection, take the quantum connection quiz now. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us here at Wisdom Talk Radio. We wish you well in your conscious explorations. For more information and to join in the conversation, our website is wisdomtalkradio.com or at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.